This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Definitely, now's not the time.
Touchdown, Bears! They've taken the lead on the Packers!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Knocked away by Eric Kendricks!
And Allen's got it. Not to be denied. He's still going!
On today's show, complete wild card weekend recap. Latest head coaching news, your phone calls, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on Disney Plus, ESPN, the app, ESPN Radio. We say hello to our podcast listeners. All 3 hours available every single day, 12 to 3 Eastern time. And then, you know, I do my NFL network duties. I've got nonstop television and radio time in which to have takes. Not all of them are great.
I mean, how could they all be?
Well, again,
nobody's batting 1,000.
No, we.
I mean,
well, there's batting 1,000, and then there's just, you know, swinging and missing by several feet. And you know, I always do my best to take an account of myself. Mm-hmm. And so I just ended hour one on the TV side of things. The radio audience may not have heard, so I'll just repeat it. About how remarkable a weekend we just saw for wildcard weekend. Just unbelievable end-to-end action where anything can happen with anybody doing remarkable, crazy things, okay? Where you didn't see it coming, you didn't expect it, and it happened. And it's compelling. It's not like boring football either, right? It's crazy bounces. We didn't even discuss at one point during the Bears-Packers game in the middle of first hour where Matt LaFleur called a screen pass for an eligible tackle.
Yeah.
And he's running down the field, trucking people, and then the ball is loose, and it gets kicked 10 yards in front, and it's like a Benny Hill, Muse, like Yakety Sack should have been played, right?
Yep.
And that's just a for instance, there, obviously, just one play. But again, the four games decided by fewer than 5 points over the weekend is the most games decided by fewer than 5 points in a single playoff round in NFL history, decided by an average of 5.4 points per game. That's the fourth lowest average point differential in any playoff round in NFL history, lowest in wild card history. Four of the five wild card games so far this weekend have featured a team who with a one despite trailing with less than 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. That's already set a record for most such games in a single postseason all time. And there have been, going into Monday Night Football, 12 fourth-quarter lead changes this weekend. That's already the most fourth-quarter lead changes in a single postseason all time. The previous record was 10 for an entire playoffs. And we've already seen more of that in five games, or four, because Sunday Night Football didn't even include all of that. So, when I said, back in the middle of December, that we would miss the Kansas City Chiefs being in the playoffs. Did you notice I had my finger on that chess piece this entire time for a month? No, because I didn't. I'm off on that one.
Man, I was hoping you weren't going to say anything because I was going to do this on Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday.
Which is what?
We don't miss them at all.
No, I don't miss them.
Yeah.
Chiefs who?
You're right. You're right. Because I was looking at the Chiefs as one of those, like, they play high-level playoff football. They play games that go down to the wire.
Yep.
They have stars all over the map. And then Caleb Williams throws one that Mahomes was, like, probably sitting wherever he was on that 4th-and-8 watching that throw going, okay, young buck.
Think he was Rick Dalton?
Yeah, right there. Point right at it. That's what Bears fans were saying. That's why we wanted him. That play right there. We saw him do that at USC, waiting for him to do that. Like, that's for us against the Packers in a playoff game. Rick Dalton Jif. There he is. Fresh from the Golden Globes. So, yeah. Wrong about that one. And the fact that Mahomes is not in the playoffs is part and parcel of why folks think this has to be the time for Josh Allen. This has got to be it. And first up for Josh Allen on the playoff road in the wild card round, because he didn't win the division for the first time this decade. Last time he was on the wild card round road was his first crack at it when he went into Houston and damn near shocked Deshaun Watson and the Texans, taking him to overtime, a game that looked like they had won until some crazy-ass holding penalty got called on him. And he's taking on a Jacksonville Jaguar team that had won 8 in a row. And in that streak, the Jaguars were winning their games by an average of 19 points a game. 19. And in that span, Trevor Lawrence had beaten the quarterback sitting at home on a bye week in his house in Bo Nix. In that span, he had also beaten the quarterback 7th seeded in the playoffs in Justin Herbert. Curb stomped them in Jacksonville prior to the Texans going on their run. Trevor Lawrence beat C.J. Stroud, who's going into Pittsburgh tonight with the longest win streak currently in the National Football League. The Texans won 9 in a row, although Davis Mills won a handful of those. But I think you're picking up what I'm putting down, is that the Jacksonville Jaguars were a stout opponent, certainly for a Bills team that is kind of wild to be on the clock for Josh Allen in terms of his best chance to supposedly win a Super Bowl. Because I think if you asked Bills team, Bills fans, Josh Allen's had better teams than this one that got bounced by Mahomes. That if he only had those teams now, right, combined with the fact that Mahomes isn't there, well, then look out. And to that, I would basically say, if that was the case, he might have been at home yesterday, not on the road. With all due respect to the 14-win Patriots. So, put it all together, kind of not fair to say to Josh Allen, this is it for you, pal, because there's no Lamar, even though he's beaten Lamar in the playoffs in the way that Mahomes is. He stands in Lamar's way in the playoffs through Lamar's career in a similar way that Mahomes has stood in his for Josh Allen. They're not in it. Burrow's not in it. Again, this decade, two guys have prevented Josh Allen from getting the Super Bowl. Burrow once, Mahomes 4 times. 4. Neither of them are in it.
Yep.
So, what now? Well, I'll tell you what now. No James Cook doing James Cook things, because the Jaguars have the best run defense in football. Take him out of the equation. What now? I don't know. There have been many, as I pointed out to start this segment, many hair on fire moments over wildcard weekend. If you made a top 5 list of hair on fire moments, where would it rank for a Bills fan to watch Josh Allen enter the blue tent in the first half yesterday?
Ooh, I was like, whoa.
Okay. So this whole thing just sort of like the Shining moment where Scatman Crothers travels the entire country only to get, spoiler alert, an axe in the chest. So the Bills season, this entire thing led up to Mitchell Trubisky having to win a playoff game for us, huh? Like, there was a split moment, I imagine, for Bills fans to be sitting at home watching that against the Jaguars team that, again, 2 months of steamrolling it. Well, then the rest of the game played out. I mean, Josh freaking Allen is something else. He just will not give up. And yeah, with the whole business of who are his weapons, you take James Cook out of the mix, which the Jaguars did. He had just 2 catches for 5 yards, 15 carries for 46. James Cook was a non-factor. Yep. But you know who was? Not just Josh Allen. Khalil Shakir. They targeted him 12 times. Do you know how many catches he had? 12. He was 12 for 12 in terms of targets and catches. That's a career high in receptions. That's the most by a Buffalo wide receiver in a playoff game all time. He showed up. Most receptions with 100% catch rate in a playoff game in recorded history. We've never seen that. Josh Allen put it right on him. And then, of course, he hits the end zone twice, too. Josh Allen, he scores twice. Hey, kudos to my guy, Gerald McCoy. That's what he said in segment 2 of Game Day Morning on Sunday morning. Hey, can the Jaguars take the run game out because they got the best rushing defense in the NFL? And his answer was, they could take James Cook out, but there's Superman running the ball too there. And he popped 2 in, including what appeared to be one of the greatest tush-push moments in the history of tush-pushes in the NFL. Have we ever seen a tush-push run in from about the 12-yard line? Because that's what happened until after further review, they put him down at the 1. And Jacksonville had no choice but to let him score. And then the defense did the rest. Trey White, what a game he had.
Yep.
He was remarkable, too. Brandon Cooks became the first player in NFL history to have 50 or more scrimmage yards in a playoff game for 4 different franchises. This guy's a hired gun, huh? Patriots, Rams, Cowboys, and Bills, who are now 19-0, while leading at halftime since the start of last season. I mean, so now the Bills go into Jacksonville. They take some good shots from Parker Washington, who had a really nice game, and held Trevor Lawrence to 18 of 30 on the day. Barely cracked 50% on his completion percentage. Picked him off twice. And you look again at the Bills. It's just like the sum of the parts. And they got the greatest part in the NFL too, arguably. And they did it again. So they win their first road playoff game since the 92 AFC Championship game. It's their first win as a wild card team since 1992. And it's the 4th time the Bills, since the beginning of last season, break up a team's winning streak of 8 or more games. They don't care. They do not care. And now they're coming for Denver.
Let's go.
Now they're coming for Denver.
Let's go. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Bills at Broncos. Coming your way. Divisional playoff round, and I'll tell you this. I'm sure when that result finally hit, Sean Payton was sitting wherever he was going, okay. Maybe text Vance Joseph, are you ready? Because here comes Josh, who had this to say afterwards about the journey molding the team for this moment.
To have the wherewithal to, again, not blink, and I think that's just the mantra that we have adopted this year of, if we've got time left and we got the ball, we got a shot. You know, we feel like we've been in situations like this, and now every game presents itself in a different way. But to understand the moment, to not ride the wave, again, that was stuff that we've learned throughout the entire season. We were able to utilize that and use it today.
So we don't have the reigning Super Bowl champs. We don't have the reigning Super Bowl MVP still left, but we've got last year's MVP still in the mix for the playoffs. And since we don't know if it's Stafford or May, we know this year's MVP is still alive. And his toughness permeates, according to the head coach.
it trickles down from him in terms of the team's toughness. I mean, he's when your quarterback's that type of warrior, that type of competitor. It's just like I said, from a leadership standpoint, it just goes through the whole team. And we got to get him as healthy as we can though for next week. So it's not something we take lightly. And I did think overall that you know he took some hits today, but there was also times where we protected him well, and I think he got registered three. They had three hits and one sack. So credit to the O-line on that.
Yeah, I mean, his beautiful wife presenting at the Golden Globes. Sinners won a Golden Globe last night. It's all good. Oh, the only thing that didn't go well last night for the Allen family, I guess, or the Bills, is the fact that the Patriots won, which means Highmark is now done. There will not be another home game in the old Bills stadium, but they'll deal with that because they got a warrior on the road now. Can he go to Denver and do it? We'll find out, but you can't sit here and say they've got no shot or they can't.
I think you'd be crazy to bet against
it. Of course, I'm thinking the same thing. And I you know, went on, as you know, I went on game day morning saying it's going to be the Jaguars going to do it.
Yeah.
I lone wolfed him. Didn't work out in the end. So it starts with a mea culpa and ends with another one. I'm not perfect. What can I tell you? Although I'd love to be. All right, Matt in Enid, Oklahoma. I knew I'd be hearing from you today. What's up, sir?
Hey, how you doing, Richie?
I'm good, Matty. How are
I'm
you?
Pretty good, too, but gave me a heart attack. But I tell you what, you had my son's head to about explode yesterday morning. My 8-year-old son, Luke.
Yeah.
You said that on game day morning, and he kept saying, call him right now, call him. I said, I can't call him. He's on TV. You call him all the time. Call him.
Nice.
He went to bed last night still ranting about it. He was in the front yard riding his e-bike ranting about it. First thing he said to me this morning when he got up was, you better call him.
Now so here we are.
He, school, he, goes, he said, come check me out of school at lunchtime. I'll call him. So he says, you know he's going to pick the Broncos next week. So he's already ranting about you when he went to school.
No. Now you gotta check. Luke's got to slow his roll there. I have no idea how I'm going to choose it. Obviously, you just heard McDermott saying we got to get Josh healthy for next week. I mean,
well, in order to beat him, you're going to have to break him in half. So I like my chances, man. I don't know what it is, but
he's on
Denver
the road.
Can win. But you know what? I got Josh Allen. That's what I say. Josh Allen doing Josh Allen things. So bring it.
Okay. Yep. So what would Luke say to me right now if he was on the phone?
He'd tell you to suck it. What he would tell you to do.
Whoa.
That's what he would say. That's what he said to me. He said, that's what you tell him. You ask.
Well, listen, you know, I'm a fan of you, and obviously the Bills are a terrific team. Listen, I think everybody keeps on looking at to where Josh Allen is going to turn when the crucible of the playoffs hit. And
look at the shiny object, and they're forgetting about it. It's like, oh, he's done.
Yep.
Everybody's moved on, and I'm tired of hearing about who's not in the playoffs. You know what? Just put them in front of us. Let's go. Line them up.
Yep.
Play the game and see what happens. And I don't think you don't like what happens when it's over. So keep on doubting him and see what happens.
Well, say hi to Luke for me, Matt. Appreciate
it.
All right,
I will. You take it easy, fellas.
Right back at you. That's Matt in Oklahoma, the Bills fan from outside the building that we've heard from the most over the 11 years about the Bills. They can do it. And the Overreaction Monday subject matter on our podcast that we recorded before the show is Bills at Patriots is 100% in the ether for part three.
Yeah, I think coming into the playoffs, the big question mark was not about Josh Allen, obviously defending MVP. Could the defense do it? This defense has been kind of battered. You can run on them. They got the turnovers when it mattered yesterday.
They got a Bosa. And that Trey White was everywhere.
He was everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And like you said, did it without James White at only 51 combined total yards.
That was James Cook.
James Cook, sorry. Yeah.
You got your Patriots on the brain, I understand.
Love James White. I would bet against Josh Allen at your own peril there.
Well, and I say this as someone who does love Josh Allen, but just listening to Matt, he makes it seem as though no one's ever beaten him or beaten this team. It's like you keep saying you wouldn't bet against them, but had you been betting against them, you'd be fairly successful.
Well, based on who he was facing, who's not in the playoffs.
Yeah, but I mean,
hey,
still
listen,
get it done though.
Listen, and it's not fair to say, but I will say, because there are some people who think it, I am not one of them. But at the end of the day, if that was Arrowhead, would they have won against the Chiefs team like the last few years? But in the same way that this guy over there in Brockman has been driven insane by the who have they really played in New England card that's been played against the Patriots' successes, remarkable successes, have now reached a 15th win on the season. You got to play who you play in front of you. And who he played in front of him yesterday was a red-hot Jacksonville Jaguars team that was takeaway happy and points happy, with Trevor Lawrence leading the way, and Allen outplayed them all at the end of the day.
That's true.
And they're the ones moving on, and the Jaguars are the ones, you know, heading out, hoping that this is just the beginning. And it certainly looks that way, because they did all this again without Travis Hunter. Think about that. But the Bills are moving on. 844-204-RICH, number to dial more of your phone calls. And hopefully you won't be calling on to tell me I was wrong, or that your child has told me to do something that children shouldn't be saying, to be very honest.
Didn't know Matt's son was in DX.
Ah, look at you. No contest wrestling coming up later on today as well.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it, and you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different, because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full-service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone, so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts. Save money and get a better view of the road when you replace your worn-out wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, save $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. They feature beam blade technology to improve windshield contact for maximum visibility. The professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Choose Rain-X Latitude wiper blades at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Let's go. Where are we going to go on this one? Let's take a phone call here. Let's go to Masab in Chicago, Illinois. Okay, bud, I see you. What's going on?
What's up, Rich?
What's on? You good? You come down yet? What do you think?
I'm amazing. I'm fantastic. I'm just elated. All right?
Yes.
But I want to just remind you that I didn't forget a few weeks ago when you said it's a realistic chance that the Bears missed the playoffs altogether.
It was.
All right? It was a realistic chance, but Right. If you believed in us and you thought we were legit.
But it's not my job to believe in you. You know what I mean? It's not my job. You're, as a fan, it's your fandom to believe in your team, and I understand that. But I have a set of eyes and decades of experience to basically sit here and say it's a tough way to keep winning football games. And there are some times when I saw a team that struggles quite a bit and could be beaten that kept on coming back and showing a true grit, and they're now 3 wins away from giving you the parade of your life. So I think I had every right to question them at the time, but
the main thing I want to talk about is that Ben Johnson saying F the Packers and F them and stuff like that. I love that. I feel like everyone is overreacting, because if he came out and he showed respect and everything like that, as a Bears fan, I don't want that. I want you to hate the Packers just as much as me.
Yeah.
I want to feel it from you.
He does.
That you have a hate and a disdain hate for this team just as much as I do, just as much as your fans do. And for him to be saying that, posting on social media and stuff like that from the Bears account, I feel like it just jolted up the fan base even more than we are. And people are just looking at this in a way where if he had said F Matt LaFleur or something like that, put a name to it, then it would be, okay, you're doing too much. But the organization, the Packers, as a base, the Bears should feel like, F the Packers every time we see them.
And Masab, I totally hear you, and I appreciate your fandom and callback. Go for it. Certainly after next week, when you could be potentially hosting an NFC Championship game or heading off to Seattle for a big-time contest, either one. But taking on a Rams team that is pretty terrific in its own right, with Matthew Stafford having experience in that building, it's kind of crazy. Let's hit this subject matter here, since Masab just brought it up. The conversation about the rivalry and the Packers and the Bears, and he just say, like, if he said F Matt LaFleur, then he'd have a problem. He said he's F the Packers, is what he said in his post-game
locker room that the Bears
moment
posted.
That the Bears
all
posted.
5 minutes.
Right, he says
it.
F the Packers, whatever. Yeah. Listen, he did use Matt LaFleur's name the first time he took the podium. Mm-hmm. And the first time he took the podium, he said it was great to beat Matt LaFleur twice a year. And again, when you get the job in Chicago, Lovie Smith did it as well. You throw out the red meat to the fans to basically say, I know Favre and Rodgers have kicked your ass for a very long time, okay? And I'm coming here to reverse that course. I'm coming here to say what you want to hear, and I'm coming here to affect what you want to have happen, which is to beat the Packers. Now, you could say, why are you obsessed with the Packers? Because you, at the time, for sure, you weren't going through the Lions or the Vikings until Favre went there to get to the NFC North Championship and to get to the NFC Championship and get to the Super Bowl. You pretty much had to go through the Packers. Made total and complete sense in that regard. And so Ben Johnson wanted to come into Chicago and start laying down the markers about the way he's going to go about his business, and sent that out there, and then they go 0-2 to start, and then 0-2 to finish. The good news there is that they went 11-2 in between all of that, and did beat the Packers in that 11-2 stretch, to the point where you had an opportunity to win the division, and you did. And that felt great for Bears fans, and I totally understand him doing all of that. I don't know what his personal animus is towards Matt LaFleur, unless LaFleur is the avatar for him to have, he's the avatar for the Packers, so therefore he just doesn't like him to begin with. Be that as it may, whatever you got to do to get that parade, you do it. Yep. Just know that this stuff is like a boomerang sometimes, and it can come back on you. It's just not going to come back on him this year, and it's going to set things up for the future of a rivalry that I think he kind of digs, that he's personally stoking, he talked today about what he said, F the Packers, to the team after figuratively doing that.
Like I said before, there's a rivalry that exists between these two teams, something that I fully recognize and I'm a part of. And I don't like that team. So George and I have talked and we're on the same page.
So, you know, he's George, I believe that's McCaskey he's referring to, the owner of the Bears, or the principal owner of the Chicago Bears, who's a delightful human. And listen, this is exactly what Bears fans want to hear. Is an audience of one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the fans of the Chicago Bears.
No doubt.
And he's doing it. They're sick and tired of having their heads beaten in. And, you know, they don't. After Rodgers beating their heads in over and over and over again, and he actually screams at them, I own you. It's going to leave a vicious nastiness within you that you want to have somebody come in and bring out of you in the form of wins. And Ben Johnson's done that. He was asked. Now, it's just, again, the quick handshakes and stuff like that. I look at that and I'm like, can we just at least make an example of, because there are people watching. There are children watching. Like, are we really just going to touch hands and just walk away? I mean, although we could go on and on and on about this handshake business and how the NFL does it.
Do they have to do it at all? What?
No, it's I kind of dig it. I like it. I like it. In the same way that I love it in hockey, after there's a 7-game series and all the blood and the guts have been spilled and it's nasty and it was nasty and people are losing teeth, literally, that they go through a handshake line. And how many people are like tweeting that stuff out saying, this is what makes hockey great. There's a handshake line. And that's why I kind of dig it in college basketball. Also in the NBA, they're just like, sometimes they'll just wave. Phil Jackson would just be halfway up the tunnel.
Yeah, he's got
back in the day when a Chicago team was kicking everybody's ass there too. Yeah. So he was asked if there's something personal with him and LaFleur.
This is a rivalry, and city of Chicago, Green Bay, it needs to be a rivalry.
I don't know what the answer is there.
All right.
Just put this away, file it away for the two times, maybe three times they play next year, you know? And this is just the way he's wired, man. He's just wired this way.
Yep.
And after a game, when you're locked in and he's, you know, he just stands there. He doesn't make it for a guy. As soon as it's over, he's nuts. Mm. But during the game, nothing. Nothing. And you know what Bears fans are thinking? We don't care. Good, better, best. We're getting free wiener circle dogs over and over again. We're hosting a divisional playoff game.
Yep.
We can go to the NFC Championship game. We could win the whole damn thing.
Yep.
And we were wondering if he was the right guy and if he's going to bring anything out of Caleb and what's happening. That. And Packers fans probably don't like it at all. 100%. I look at it and I'm just like wondering sometimes, like with the handshake, like what's his malfunction? Like, what's your deal, bro? Right? Isn't that what Pete once said to Jim?
Big, what's your deal, bro?
Like,
vibes.
What, right. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of what's your deal, bro vibes. But guess who won a lot was Jim. Mm-hmm. And guess who's winning right now? Ben.
Yep.
844-204-RICH, number dial. Terzo in Iowa. What's up, Terzo? How you doing, brother?
Talk your smack, Terzo.
Having a problem with the phone system.
Uh-oh, Mike.
Are we having a problem with the phone system?
No, there we go. He's
number
up.
Three.
He's there we go.
Yo, what's up?
What's up, Terzo?
Hey, bud.
Hey, what up, guys? Hey, man. Before I get to the rubber match with the Sea Chickens, we got to talk about that game. Now, that was an impressive win by this Niner team. I knew the longer that they stuck around and the Eagles just kept leaving us be, that we were going to be able to pull that out. I my heart goes out to George Kittle, man. That was brutal to see. I will chip in and throw in on a bottle of tequila with you, Rich, to send to him. Cause that one broke my heart as well. It just seems like we can't get past it, but this team, they're resilient and they come together and they played as if he was still in the game.
Hey, dude, your team just keeps on ticking, and I know you keep calling them the Sea Chickens. You're having a lot of fun with that, but they are stout. They're rested. They're coached well. They are deep at many positions. I cannot wait to watch this game. The one thing I would be upset about if I'm a Niner fan is for some reason the NFL is popping you on a Saturday against them.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And you know, I don't have the answer for you other than the fact, and, you know, so you're going to have a short week. You're going to have a short week against Seattle, just had a long week.
And that's happened to us for the past 4 weeks, it feels like, because we went from the Monday night to a Sunday and then back to a Saturday, you know, and then they're doing it to us again. And I saw that, and I was just like, come on, man, like, give us the extra day, especially when we're going against a team that, you know, that had that week off. So, you know, I'm a little upset about that, but like I always say in these rubber matches for in-division teams, man, anything can happen. And the reason we call them Sea Chickens is because they lay eggs, my dude.
Thank you, sir. That's Chirzo in Iowa, everybody. The only reason why I could think of that the NFL did this is because Chicago is market 3 and Los Angeles is market 2. And I mean, that's going to be a Fox game. Fox had the late window on Sunday. Usually they reverse it. Wow. So that would mean CBS needs a late window game. Would Texans Patriots be that late window game leading to the Sunday nighter?
I guess.
Yeah. You know, unless, because I don't know if they're going to put the Patriots on NBC again. And I don't know, again, ESPN's got a game. I don't know how they're going to split this thing up. But if I'm the Niners, it's just like, come on. But it's just part and parcel of everything. It's been one big, to use a Jeff Garland phrase, one big bowl of come on, and they're now a Final Four team in the NFC, in the arguably toughest conference in football. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here. We've hardly even spoken about the Patriots and the Chargers or the Rams and the Panthers. That will change over the final hour and 20 minutes of this Monday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We'll also hit Indiana football in the same way that Indiana football keeps hitting people.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Kraft Mac and Cheese is better than 90s hip-hop. We'll remind you of your childhood without making you feel incredibly old. Kraft Mac and Cheese, best thing ever.
As you all know, I care deeply about pediatric cancer research and awareness. That's why I'm proud to talk about Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million, supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll get your call in a second. I said on the, listen, I keep on talking about all the stuff that I didn't get right. Let me just get something kind of that I got right. Although I think I whiffed on the what's more likely. You said the larger margin of difference, any of the wild card games this weekend or the Indiana-Oregon final, right?
Yeah.
And I chose the wild card game to be a blowout. That didn't happen.
No.
Just turned out to be the closest weekend in the history of Wild Card Weekend. So maybe I manifested that.
Yeah. I think Indiana just scored again.
Yeah.
Well, oof. I should have just relied on my opinion of Indiana for the last few weeks, which is they are a wagon and they are the bullies of college football. They are just... Now, I understand that bullies are weak at its center, so I guess I need to come up with a different phrase. They are the best. in college football, and they have a head coach and a quarterback and a team that is, I guess you could say, as close to a professional football team as you can see. Certainly, because they have a similar age of a football team, right? They got a bunch of OGs there.
Mm-hmm.
This kid Fernando Mendoza, his accuracy is something else. Like, he puts the ball where only his guy can get it, whether it's to high point or a back shoulder or something to lead him to the sideline to make sure that the defender that is draped all over him can't get him. He's locked in. And he's just such a guy to root for, too. Every time he speaks, it's like a throwback to the 50s, right? Where he's just like, gosh, gee willikers.
That's why it's hard to, when you use the bully phrase, you think about him, no. And he's as far from a bully as it is, so I think we do have to come.
Well, he's just the best. He's the Heisman Trophy winner, and he's terrific, and it looks like he's going to be the first overall pick. I love watching his parents celebrate him. Do you notice his dad never stands to celebrate? Do you notice that?
Yeah.
You know why?
Yeah.
Because his mom's in a wheelchair.
She has MS.
Oh.
Yep.
Wow.
And so he sits and celebrates with her.
With her, yeah.
I'm falling in love with the family. Falling in love with the kid, with the family.
Whoever gets him is going to be lucky.
You know? Well, I think it's going to be the Raiders.
Yeah, it's probably going to be. I mean,
not exactly the Vegas personality type.
Well, but excuse me, if you are somebody who runs the Las Vegas Raiders and you operate in a city like Las Vegas, I want somebody who I know is going home.
Yeah, you're not going to get a phone call.
Guess who's raving? I'd rather rave about him
than going to raves.
You know what I mean?
You call him at 4 a.m, it's going right to voicemail.
Yeah, it's going right,
because he's sleeping.
Or he might be up watching tape.
Film, right? Or getting ready to come to work.
Yeah, true that.
Yes.
To be the first in the building.
Right. But he ain't going to be at the slot machine.
I mean, in all honesty, honestly, who, TJ. Where's the one city a game took place this year, mm-hmm, where two star athletes didn't participate in the first series for their team, and we were wondering why?
I mean, I don't know why you got to bring old stuff up.
The city of Las Vegas, CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens were standing there watching. We're wondering what's up with that. Oh, they got in the game.
For sure.
Yeah. They played, and they won, you know. And one of them wound up on the All-Pro list, too. But at any rate, yeah, man, he'd
that's
be
who you want.
Yeah, he'd be perfect for Vegas. Yeah. That's exactly who I want if I'm in charge there. But at any rate, Indiana taking on Miami, it's just going to be a total blast. I mean, Miami is a stout team in its own right, okay, with a head coach that is barking out orders also, and is a tough team in the trenches. And you could make the case this kid Tony is the most electric player in the national championship game.
Sure.
By far. And it's going to be, what, a 17-year-old against the people who are like in their mid-20s? Mm-hmm. Some of them?
Yeah.
It seems like. Yeah, they get, you know what I mean?
23, I think, you know, average age.
Right? So it's a home game for Miami. And Indiana has all of these alums. To the point you see Cuban is posting like, hey, can somebody tell me about these secondary tickets? Why they're through the roof? Then I saw Connor Stallions respond, and I'm like, come on, man. Just I know about tickets. It's just like, get out of here.
He's probably enough got a guy, right? He's got a guy.
Yeah, he's got Connor's.
Well, you think Cuban would have enough. But at any rate, I mean, it's going to be a fun matchup. And all Miami's going to hear between now and next Monday is they're going to get steamrolled, and I'm sure
point dogs.
I'm sure the coach is going to talk it up. It's their home stadium.
Yeah,
it's their home stadium. Can't wait for it. But Indiana is a wagon. So they took the lead on a pick six to start, and then Oregon ties the game. And honestly, nobody, in case you're wondering how that suddenly happened for Oregon, nobody can affect a change of momentum quite like Chris Brockman prematurely texting the group that game's over.
Did you really? Did you?
Was I wrong this weekend about any of those?
At the end of the day, the game wasn't close.
Thank you.
The game wasn't close. You declared the Rams game over after Carolina,
said that was done.
Turned it over on downs in their own end.
So you were wrong about that.
No. You said the game was over.
The game.
The Rams wound up winning the game. But no, in case if you're sitting at home wondering, how did that just happen in a game where momentum just switched? Just know that Brockman has texted the group saying the game's over. Just know that.
Come on.
Somewhere.
I also had Panthers plus 10.5. So
that's odd that it would be gambling related.
Guys, there's so
also,
many.
The get-in price for this national championship game, have you seen this?
It's through the roof.
$3,400 is the cheapest ticket.
That's like Super Bowl, like getting into a Super Bowl. $35,000.
Jeez.
$3,500. Yeah.
Anyway.
You sure you got this number?
No, he does not.
3,000. I said 335.
No,
35. 35.
He's just starting with, it's almost like a numerical eye chart.
I was going to say 25, 6 to 4, but I
it's a numerical eye chart. He's just throwing out, out numbers.
You guys knew what I meant.
5, 6, 9, 9, 3.
We really did.
Oh, yes.
He almost gave out Jenny's number. Yeah. You know how much it is to get in the game? 8675309.
Boom.
Okay.
You guys, idiots.
You're the idiot.
I am.
Like, what are we doing?
It's the truth. I am. I accept it.
Well, at any rate, it's expensive.
It's expensive. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. It's expensive.
He's burned fighting it, Mikey.
I know, right? I can't. I'm just turning my mic off. Bye.
Don't do that.
I'm kidding. It's all good. I'm here for comic amusement.
It's all good. But it's a fun college football matchup between the one seed and the 10 seed. A lot of people thought they shouldn't have gotten in at all, and they made it. Irv will be there with his belt.
Oh, God, Irv.
Irv will be there with his belt.
Block any camera.
And Edrin will be there. And Andre Johnson will be there. And Ray will be there. And Cuban will be there. I wonder if Joe Buck's going to be there. He should. He'll be done. Come on, Joe. You got to go to this one. National championship game for the Indiana Hoosiers.
And their alumni got to step up because the Miami guys are
best in the sport right now.
Woo.
They are.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.